Blog Talk Radio.
Not just for the young. I'd like to thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday. Amen, every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we do thank you for tuning in. Those who are listening by internet, if you would like to call in, we're an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means you have an opportunity to call in and you can participate with the discussion. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. We're going to move on, and we're going to have prayer. After we have prayer, then we're going to move on into Atlanta, Georgia, with one of our guest speakers, regular guest speakers, who always does a dynamic job, and we always feel the anointing of Jesus Christ as she proclaims the word of God. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for who you are. You are the Alpha and you are the Omega. You are the God who said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Father, we'd like to lift up a few people at this time. Pastor Paul Robinson, Minister Bill Robinson, Sister Tanette Dixon out of Atlanta, Brother Stuart Hawthorne from out of Cleveland, Father, and we know that there are many, many more that are in need of prayer. Lord, you know who they are and you know their every need. And Father, we're asking that you would just minister to their needs at this time, Father. We intercess on their behalf, Father, that whatever ever their needs are, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would rectify it. And as you rectify it, Father, let them know, Father, that it was not by their will, but it was your will. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to come together just to share your word. There's something about sharing the word of Christ that seems to give us peace, and we thank you for that peace that you give us, that peace that passes all understanding. Father, we thank you for the speaker this evening. We pray, Father, that you would place the anointing on her as she proclaims the word. And we, the hearers, Father, would receive your word. Father, we thank you. We give all you all the glory, all the honor, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to move on over into Atlanta, Georgia, and we're going to turn it on over to Pastor Cook. Pastor Cook, are you there? Pastor Cook,
hello.
Are you there?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How are you?
Amen. I'm good. Yes. I'm good.
Amen. Isn't it a blessing? We can be in Ohio and we can just talk about the Lord from Ohio to Atlanta. Amen.
Yes. Awesome. That's an awesome
God
thing. Technology.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. We're going to turn it on over to you. I'm going to move on out of the way.
All right. Praise the Lord, everybody. I hope everybody had a wonderful and awesome day, because today I had an awesome day. And I thank God for this opportunity. I always say it, and every time I come on the line, I always say that I thank God for Elder and Dr. Suzanne for giving me this platform to tell you about what God has given me to give unto you tonight. Allow him to speak through me tonight. And I thank God for that, that I'm reaching souls, and people are being delivered through the word that God has given unto me to give unto you tonight. So that's an awesome thing. So I applaud you for allowing that and opening that avenue and that door for me tonight. Amen.
Amen.
And you know I'm not long-winded, and as Elder Clay said, this is an interacting Bible study. So I like feedback. I like you to talk to me to let me know if you understand what I'm saying or if you have anything to piggyback off of. You can interject at any time. I don't mind, because this is a Bible study, because I want to hear what you think about what the word is saying as well. Amen. And so as we go to the text, we're going to Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke, the 14th chapter, verses 7 through 14. And I'm going to just indulge in the 11th verse. We're going to tap into that a little bit more. But I like to read God's word and tell you what's happening in the text. Amen. So Luke 14 chapter verses 7 through 14. And the Bible says, so he told a parable to those who were invited. When he noted how they chose the best place, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him comes and see and say to you, give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invites you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he also said to him who invited him, when you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. For when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And the word of God is blessed. And so my topic tonight is wait your turn. Amen.
Amen.
Just wait your turn. We're talking about here humbling yourself and wait your turn. Amen. I'm going to go right into the text. The text is saying here is we find in this particular text that Jesus was invited to a meal at the house of a leading Pharisee. And at this dinner party, Jesus was not liking what they were doing at this dinner party. And so I can imagine how they were acting at this dinner party. They was fighting to get at this prestige seat. You know, they was fighting to get to the top of the seat at the table. They were stepping on people. They were, you know how we do when we want to reach up to the top. We begin to step on people, and we begin to talk about people. We try to outdo other people so we can get to the top. Amen. We do that in the world. We find that in our places, the world places. When we want to get to being that supervisor, we do whatever we got to do to be that supervisor, even if it's hurting someone to get where you're going. Amen. And this is what they were doing. They were trying to get to the prestige seat in this particular dinner party, and they were doing all kinds of crazy things because it was very disturbing to our Jesus. Amen. And he began to tell them a parable, which we know a parable is just a story that has truth to it and understanding. He began to tell them this parable about being honored at a banquet and showing humility. And how do you know that God said it's important? Humility is important in the kingdom of God. Amen.
Hey, Pastor Cook.
Let's stop
Pastor
and talk
Cook.
About seeking. Yes?
Elder Clay. I have to step off. I don't mean to be rude. I'm sorry for interrupting, but I have to get off. I've got members coming in.
Okay.
At our Bible study, so just keep us in your prayer. And I'm sorry for interrupting, y'all.
Amen.
That's
we will okay. do that, and we do just that. Keep you in prayer. God bless you.
Yes. Amen. And so they were acting crazy at this particular party, and he began to tell them once again this parable, and he's beginning to tell them about how to be honored at this particular banquet and show humility. And I'm going to say it again, God says important, humility and humbleness is important in the kingdom of God. Amen. He tells them to stop seeking the most prestigious seat at the table, but take the low place so that you might be elevated to more honorable seat by the host. In other words, you know, don't try to elevate yourself. Don't try to toot your own horn. Amen. Let God do what he needs to do. Amen. See, they had a wrong attitude about exalting themselves. Amen. Because they thought they were better. Because sometimes when you want to get to the next level or in a supervisor position, you think you're better than everybody. You know, you begin to say, oh, yeah, I deserve this job. They don't deserve it. I'm this, I'm that. And you begin to toot your own horn and thinking about it's all about you. Amen. And so they begin to exalt themselves. And how do you know when you begin to exalt yourself, your heart is far from God. Amen. Because you have to humble yourself. Amen. He don't like somebody that has a prideful heart. Amen. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like that. He likes us to be humble so that you can be used by God. Because when you have all that pride and you think you all that, how can you be effective in the kingdom? How can you minister to someone when you think you all that? You got a big head. Nobody can tell you nothing. And you trying to minister to somebody. Hallelujah. You need to check your attitude and check your actions. And make sure you have the right attitude when you're coming before God's people, or when you before you, or when you coming to minister to someone. Mm-hmm. You have to have that right attitude. Because if you don't have the right attitude, that unbeliever is going to look at you crazy and say, sit down somewhere. Mm-hmm. I ain't trying to heal you when you have a wrong attitude. Amen. Mm-hmm. So we got to check our attitude and let yourself know that it's not about you. It's about God. It's about God's word. Mm-hmm. And you the only, he's only just using you. It ain't even you. It's just you, the vessel that he's using. It's him. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. He's a messenger and you just a deliverer. Amen. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we got to realize that you just a deliverer. He's giving you the message to give to the people. That's all. But see, sometimes we take that and we make it bigger than what it is and say, it's me, it's me. No, it's not you. It's God. Any questions as I move forward?
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because if you don't check your attitude, God will bring you down. When you think you up there, he will surely cut you down and make you sit down. Amen. That's why I say, wait your turn.
Wait your turn.
Don't go. Don't try to go before God. And see, we're in a place where the world is so microwave. Mm-hmm. They want everything real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody don't have time to lay before the Lord. Nobody has time to study the Word of God. We're too busy. We're too distracted by so many things that we can't focus, and that we can't sit and listen to God. We can't meditate on him so that he can use us.
Yes.
But we want everything quickly. But nobody wants to do the work. I want to be this great prophet or this great prophetess, this great bishop.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks so good, you know. People look at the outside. Oh, I want to be a bishop. I want to be a prophetess. I want to be a prophet. It looks so wonderful. So we rush to do that instead of spending time with the Lord and humbling yourself and waiting your turn, getting in His Word, studying His Word. Ah, hallelujah! Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. Any questions?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's time out to try to exalt yourself. Let God do it. Hallelujah. Because if you don't want man to do it, because if man exalts you and puts you up there, they're going to surely put you down real quickly. So you might as well let God do it. Wait. I know waiting is a hard thing. Yes, waiting is a hard thing, but you got to do it. You got to wait on the Lord to move you. Amen. Don't go before God. Because if you go before God, you're going to mess yourself up. And you'll be set back once again. And see, that's why some of us are in situations we're in, because we move too fast. We don't wait on the Lord. We don't wait to hear him. That's why it's important that you need to always pray and anoint your ear gates. Anoint your ear gate so you can hear what God is saying unto you. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You can't allow any and everything in your ear. Hallelujah. To distract you from where God wants to take you. Amen. So it's important to guard that ear gate. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Wait your turn. Wait your turn. Trust me. If God said it, if God has called you to the ministry, or God said that you're going to do this and do that, it's going to happen. It's going to take place, because he's not a man that he should lie. Because if he said it, It is gold. You can take it to the bank, and it won't bounce. The check won't bounce.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So we have to wait. Wait on it.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. We want to move so fast. Oh, people say, oh, well, you know, my time is running out. You know, my time clock is running out and all this and that. You don't even know when your time is up. So you can't even say that. That shouldn't be an excuse for you to say, I'm going to do what I want to do because my time clock is up. You don't know when your time clock is up.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Any questions as I move forward? This is some good stuff because I got some more stuff, some more meat in this that I want to talk about. But I need y'all to, I want, you know, piggyback, you can say something.
I have a, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
I have a friend, he was in the ministry, and when he met me, he always said, you know I'm in your life for a reason. You know I'm in your life for a reason. And I'm looking at this man, and being a child of God, and I was like, you're a man, and I'll listen, but I know who I'll listen to first. And it went on. And then the next thing I know, this man was having such bad luck every which way he turned, and for work, for driving a car accident, for trying to get a job, misunderstanding, marriage problems. And I was like, wow. And then I saw him trying to work on his own, and I saw him constantly working, and then he was talking less and less about God. And I couldn't understand that. How come a man who knows the scripture and everything better than I do could turn that cheek? And I just couldn't figure it out. So I sat here and talked to him one day. I said to him, did you remember who you are and whose you are? Because you keep saying you're trying to do this, you're trying to do that. I said it to him straight and clear. I said, it's not you, it's God. You got to go through him, ask him, and beg him even what you need. And he'll provide instead of you trying to do it on your own skin.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, he told me, maybe you in my life for a reason. I was like,
amen.
Thank you,
amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. See, I was just thinking.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen. Right. You can't go on your own on your own will. You got to go on God. Don't try to do it. Let God do it for you. And you and if you let God do it, He'll give you the direction that you need to take.
Yes.
He'll show you the path to go. That's why I always ask the Lord for everything. Lord, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I eat this or should I go there? Should I minister there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he knows the way. He knows. So I'm going to ask him everything. What is my next step?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Because he knows my beginning and my end. And he goes before me. Wherever the time that he has for me, he goes before me. And I go pray and I ask God to set the atmosphere.
Yes.
Yeah,
amen.
Somebody was saying something?
Mm-mm. That's good stuff.
So you can't go on your own will. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So we're just eating. We're just eating. Off the word.
I didn't hear you, sir.
We're just eating. We're feeding off the word.
Oh, yes, okay. And so he said, so you need to check your attitude, make sure, you know, your action is in the right place. Amen. And be humbled. Amen. We go to, I want to talk about 11, verse 11. For whosoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This particular, since he was talking about the parables and everything, Jesus was talking about the parable, 11th verse is a principle. In other words, this is a rule for our lives. Amen. Just like the world has rules and regulations, we have rules in the kingdom. And this is the rule. The rule is, for whoever exalts himself will be humble, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. That's the rule right there. Amen. That's a principle. In other words, the point is that if we lift ourselves up, God is surely going to put us down. But if we lift up others, he's going to lift you up.
Yes,
if you take the low seat and let God do what he do, you're only going to go up anyway. Mm-hmm. So if you take, let me say this again, if you take the low seat, you're going to go up anyway. It's only way up. You can't go no more lower if God is in if God is in the plan, if God is in the mix of it. You're only going to go up anyway. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you try to do it and you try to work it out, you're going to take the risk of you going being put down. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's important that we got to take the low seat and let God do what he do. Because he's God. He knows. Amen. He created us. He's our creator. He created our thinking. He created us.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows what we need to do. All we need to do is just relax and wait your turn.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Hallelujah. Wait your turn. Amen. Who else? Mm-hmm. Somebody was coming in. Amen. Also, when I looked at humility, because we're talking about being humble and humility. Listen, humility is not a self-degradation, but is a realistic assessment and a commitment to serve. So for you to have humbleness and humility, you have to be able to be committed to serve. You must be committed. Amen. You must be submissive. Amen. Serving is more important in God's kingdom than status. I'm going to say that again. Serving is more important in God's kingdom than status. Instead of you thinking, you know, God is not looking at your title. He ain't looking at you being the usher, the bishop, the pastor. He's looking for people that's going to serve and be committed to the kingdom. Because there's a lot of lost souls out there that need help.
Amen.
Amen. They don't need you talking about I'm this and that. They just need the word, especially when somebody's going through and they need to be healing. They need to be healed and delivered. They want some encouraging words. They want to know, how can I be healed? How can I be delivered? Not that I'm a big bishop and I got all these churches. They ain't looking for that. Somebody's in need, they need help. Just like if you in need and you need somebody to come help you, you don't need nobody to tell me, yeah, I'm going to act up this big church. No, they want some encouraging words.
Yeah.
They want to know, how can I get out of this? Amen.
Yeah.
He's looking for people that's going to serve his people. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
He's not looking for people that's going to complain. He's not looking for people that's going to say, oh, I'm going to do this one day and do this another day. No, he's looking for people that's going to be committed, saying, yes, Lord, to your will. Yes, I'm going to serve your people. Because many times people don't want to be committed. I look in churches, I've been in ministry for a while, and I see people, they say they want to do one Sunday, and next Sunday they ain't there, or they even say, I want to be an usher. That one Sunday they usher, and you won't see them until the next month. That's not commitment. That's not being committed to the kingdom. And you know what? God looks at that. Because once you open up your mouth and say, hey, I want to be an usher, and then you don't be committed to that, woe unto you. Because God is looking at that. We have so many distractions, like I stated before. We have distractions that we can't be committed to church. I can't be committed to Bible study. God is looking for committed people. Hallelujah. Any questions?
And I just want to interject. God bless you, Pastor. You know, I just want to interject. People, it's so hard for people to commit, but if they would first and foremost commit to Christ, who committed to God, who was God, came in the flesh and humbled himself and committed himself to God in the flesh, as we are supposed to, he is the example for us, we would be able to do this thing, because our goal is to please Christ. Our goal is to please God. And if we would keep that in mind, we wouldn't have any problem being committed to Bible study, being committed to a church, being committed to our position, you know, instead of exalting ourselves and puffing ourselves up. Jesus didn't puff himself up, and he came, he was king. He came as he was king, but yet he humbled himself as a servant unto God. And you know what? The Bible says Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. He came to serve, to show his service to people, to mankind. And if we would keep that in mind, like you said, Pastor, if we would keep that in mind and wait for our turn and humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and look at Christ Jesus as our prime example, we won't have to even, you know what, our distractions would be even less. Because for me, I want to please Christ. So if I want to please Christ, I humble myself. Sometimes, I'm going to put it, I'm going to be very transparent. Sometimes I don't agree with leadership. But so what? So what that I might disagree with leadership? So what? He's called me to be submissive to leadership. You know what? That's what we need to know. You know, we're not going to always look. We don't even agree in our own homes, in our own families. But you know what? God commands us to be submissive. Those that are over you, you're supposed to submit. I may be going off into a tangent, but if coming back to it, if we want to please Christ, we will come under submission and we will humble ourselves. We're supposed to come as little children. God ain't looking for no grown up people in that in that respect. He wants us mature, but he don't, I'm grown. Nah, come on. Like you would say, Pastor, no, boo. Nah. We are children of Christ.
That's
but you know what? But we are mature. You know, we're no longer babies. We're no longer sucking our thumbs. But yet, we are children of the Most High God.
Amen.
You know, I want to take it even, Minister, I want to take it even further.
Come on with
it. As I listen to this and talking about humbling and waiting your turn. We're living in the day and age where many who have been called or even sent, they're leaving. They're walking away. How can you walk away from God? How can you walk away? Now, let me just take it even further. You're at Bible study, and you only have a small number who are attending, and you become discouraged because it's not larger.
Right.
You have a church that's a small church, and you are discouraged because many are not coming. You're pastoring, and you are discouraged because people are not hearing the word. Not enough people. And people, let me tell you something right now. People are walking away. This what it talks about, humble yourself and wait your turn. Listen, let me tell you something. When it comes to God, he has his own appointed time for all things.
Amen.
He has an appointed time for all things. So we cannot become discouraged because when the numbers are not large. Because God will smile upon what we do for the small numbers as well as for the large. So I just wanted to comment on that.
And waiting our turn. You know, it might even seem like a long time, but you know what? Remember now, this is God who's in eternity. Just because it seemed like our time is seemed like it's going by, he knows the appointed time for you to be exalted.
Amen.
He knows the appointed time. You might think that, okay, I was in my 30s, now I'm in my 60s, and ain't nothing. But there's no time in Christ. He's working from eternity.
Amen.
But all we got to do is continue to humble ourselves and wait on him. Wait till
Amen.
Your turn. Don't go ahead of him.
Yes.
God don't want you to go ahead
Amen.
Of him. How can you go ahead of the one that knows the future? The
mm-hmm.
one that he is ancient
yes.
of time.
Amen.
He's ancient. How can you go before ancient? We need
Amen.
To sit down and wait our turn and shut up.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
All right,
I want to go back to what
I was talking to someone today. I met him when he was 17. I think he's 37 now, 38. He got a 15-year-old son. He always is, I guess, ministering to me. And I'm patient and I listen, but he's not for the Bible, and he's not for the churches. He's not for a lot of things. And I was like, well, you didn't used to be that way. And he said, but he learned scriptures to the Israelites or something like that, and now he's different. And I was like a little hurt by it, but I was like saying, okay, I mean, I accept people, everybody as they are, and try to keep an open mind. But when he said that he was against God, and I had a problem with that. And I didn't say anything. I humbled myself a whole lot. And I got out of there. I got out of the car thinking to myself, should I have said something? Should I have pushed it? Or should I let him wait on the Lord? You know? That was my thought at the time. So
you know, the Bible talks about people.
I asked ministers around me, did I do the right thing?
You know, the Bible talks about people that have tasted the heavenly kingdom, tasted the Spirit of God, and turned their backs on him. The Bible talks about that. Shame on them. Woe unto them. And these are those that, and I don't want to put it out there, but this is what it is, Antichrist.
Amen.
They done turned their backs on Christ, who they have, they're almost like a Judas, who they have sat with and ate with. And he loved on them, and he saw them through. And then for them to take on another doctrine or another way of living, oh, shame on them. Woe unto them. The Bible talks about people such as they. They are people of error. They came in unaware. And then they went out. They went out from among us.
Because they were never of us.
They never was of us.
That's
and
right.
That's a frightening thing. That's
that
scary.
Is.
You know, when I hear that, the first thing that I thought about was who hurt him. Who hurt him? Now, and I'm just thinking, you know, because I always think outside of the box. A loved one, mother just passed. You've been praying and praying and praying that. Your mother or somebody, a loved one, that you don't lose them. And all of a sudden you lose them, and then sometimes people blame God. Hurt, pain.
They do.
And they get lost and confused and think God took them away.
You know.
So I just really wanted to comment on that. You know, there are a lot of people out there that are hurt. That they're hurt because they feel that God didn't come through. You know, God, here it is, we're talking about the God that did all of the healing in the Bible, but yet he didn't heal my loved one, my wife, my daughter, my son, and you're thinking, they're feeling that God did this. They're hurt. Pain. So I just want to flip the script on that, you know, in terms of there are those that may not be antichrist. Because I always believe if you're feeling, the spirit knows the spirit. If someone is antichrist, when you're with them around them, you know. There's something your spirit tells you to flee. Get away. Get away.
Hello?
Amen.
Hello?
Yes. Come on.
Amen. And so as we move forward, I wanted to get back to the prophet was talking about commitment. For you to be even more committed, you have to have a relationship with God.
Amen.
You know, because if you know him, you're gonna do whatever you got to do to please him.
Amen.
And you're going to be committed to what he's doing in the kingdom. So you want to be committed, get a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
Get to know him.
Mm-hmm.
Begin to study his word. Begin to get in his word.
Mm-hmm.
Begin to meditate on his word.
Amen.
And then once you get into that, then you can be a committed person.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You do whatever you have to do in the kingdom to win souls. But you got to get a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And that's what a lot of people are not getting. They're losing. They don't have a relationship. And then they miss that commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Your commitment ain't right. Get a relationship.
Yes.
Get to know him. Let him do whatever he has to do in you. Amen.
So can I ask a question? What is the difference between relationship and religion? Because some people get that confused. They say they're religion.
Well,
I'm asking a question. What is the difference? Yes.
When I look at a relationship is something when I'm getting to know that particular person. I'm getting to know God. I'm in his word. I'm studying him. I'm getting to know him. I'm getting to know his ins and his outs.
Mm-hmm.
That's a relationship. You're getting to know that he's a healer. So when you're going through, you know you could go to him and say, God is going to heal me because I have a relationship with him. I know what he can do for me. That's my relationship. Religion is something you just, you know, you don't have. That's not a relationship. I just go to church on Sunday because I went to church on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? There's no commitment there. Because I'm just going to church. I'm religious because I'm a Baptist. I'm religious. You know what I'm saying? There's no real commitment with that.
Here's my analogy. Religion is the house. Think of it as the house. We go and we worship, but relationship is the heart. It's the heart that beats, that keeps the house moving. Now, I'm talking about you now, and I'm talking about where you go. Religion, we need that fellowship. We need that coming together. That's all well and good. We do. But in the meantime, all that's well and good, but you need the heart.
Yeah.
The heart of the soul is the relationship with Christ. That's the heartbeat. That's the heartbeat. That's all that other stuff is good. All that other stuff is good because we need that. We need that structure. But you know what? We need more importantly. We need that heartbeat. We need that relationship. Because when the house is gone, when the house is gone, what's going to be left?
Right.
The heartbeat.
Right.
The spirit.
Now,
from his spirit to your spirit.
Right. That I look at it like this. The relationship is, look at it in the natural. We have friends, right? And we do things that we like together. We talk to our friends. They talk back to us. We tell them, things, and they talk back. And, you do things and you share things together.
Mm-hmm.
You do things together. That is a relationship.
Right.
And you love, and you won't hurt your friend, and your friend won't hurt you.
Right.
Because you have this love relationship.
Mm-hmm.
How I look at it. And religion, to me, is more or less like a set of rules. Don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that, this, that, come to Bible study. Anybody can go to church. Anybody can go to Bible study. Anybody can preach.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can. But doesn't mean they have a relationship with God.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Right. Because you can take this Bible and you can study it. And you can preach out of it. But do you truly have a relationship with Jesus?
To make it come alive. Yeah.
Do you? Because if you have a relationship with him, you know what? You're going to start to look like him. You're going to walk like him. You're going to talk like him. You're not going to do anything that's going to hurt him. You're not going to do that because you have a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
But religion... That's why the Bible says, that's why Jesus said, watch out, because false teachers, they're going to come.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of false prophets. We are already warned about that.
Mm-hmm.
So just because somebody is sitting in the pulpit, don't mean they have a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that. We have to be careful. We were warned.
Yeah.
Relationship and religion are two different things. They may look it. Remember, remember the scripture that talks about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away? But the true Christian, the true follower of Christ, like somebody mentioned, they will know that this person is not in relationship with Christ. They just test every spirit. That's what the Bible says. That's what we have to do. We have been warned. Christ warned us far ahead of time.
That's right.
We have to hear what he's saying to us.
I sound like Jennifer.
Follow the Spirit. Walk after the Spirit.
And I'm going to add on.
Hello?
Yes,
yes it is.
Oh, praise God. Okay, Juanita. I'm
Hi. Hi, Rose.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay, good.
Praise the Lord. And I want to add on to that. I want to add on to that to religion. That God is not looking God is not looking for religion. He's looking for a relationship.
That's right.
He's not looking. And if you search even further, those, when it starts talking about in terms of religion, those who have religion during the final judgment will not make it into heaven.
Amen.
Because they don't have a personal relationship with Christ. One is the other one is spiritual.
That's right. That's right.
And in my case, I can't get out to the church. I'm not able to walk that well. My relationship is right here. My house is right here. And God and I have a good time every day.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
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 And with that, you know what we as Christians should be doing? We should be bringing a service unto you. You know, the members of your church should be coming. And I'm not saying because I don't know if they're saying about you.
That's another testimony, Dad.
Because you know why? Because we are our brother's keeper. And you know what? And you know what? Yes, you and the Lord have a good time together. But you know what? He also want us to hold one another up. I'm done. Pastor, you wanna continue?
But to God be the glory, you know what? I know my relationship is strong because he's surrounded me by people like you, surrounding me at my job. Everywhere I work, Rose could even tell you, I thought I had a spiritual enlightenment when we was working together. And it was a funny thing. But even now, I have a minister in the classroom with me. She's pulling me in all the time, and she's always praying for me. And she prays for me when I least expect it. I mean, when I'm going through a little something, she just come over and lay her hands on me and just pray for me. And that's what I wanted from my church. Just come and minister for me and just pray for me and just let me know that they're there for me. And that extra strength, that connection of that house of the Lord is connected the right way. And so when I say what I have to say, I open my mouth only when I got a lot to say. I'm long-winded. And so when I talk about him, it's a lot. And when I say I got a chill right now, I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. And I want to just say that I'm connected again. And thank you.
Amen. Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
So as we move forward, because I know time is running out, I want to get out these points here. As you being humble and waiting your turn, as you're waiting, learn to be a giver. Amen. When we look at this particular text in the 12th verse, he's telling now he's talking to the host. You know, don't invite exclusive people. Don't invite people that you expect to repay you. He said, go after the ones that are poor, the lame, the blind, the ones that can't repay you. And this is one. This is also a principle of giving. You know, a true giver is a person that a true giver is a person that doesn't look for it back. So if I give you something, I'm not looking for nothing in return. And that's another form of being humble. You know, you give somebody money, don't be arrogant about it and say, you got my money, I want my money back. That's not being humble. I lent you $150 and I still didn't get my money back. What happened? You forgot about me? This is how the world do. The world says this. The world does this to people, and you make that person feel bad, you know, when you come at them like that. But in the kingdom, God said, "Don't worry about it. I got you. Let it go. Give and don't look for a return." Amen. And he was telling this. The host, go after the ones that are poor, the lame, the blind. Minister to those that are lost.
Amen.
God does that. He's open to everyone. He's open. He opens the invitation to everyone to come. Amen. To be blessed, to be healed, and be delivered. So what I'm saying tonight with that is, as you're humbling, as you're waiting, learn to be a good giver. Give out of your heart. And don't look for it in return, because God is going to take care of you.
Amen.
He's going to reward you for it. So you don't have to sit there and be, like, arrogant with it. Like, you know, if you're a singer, don't be arrogant with it so you could be seen and acting all crazy. No. If God gave you that gift, do it unto him and not unto men. Amen. And then the last part is the way to get ahead is to stay humble, to be upgraded, if I could say, in the kingdom, stay humble. Be humble. Mm-hmm. Let God exalt you up. Let God bring up the rain. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And then when I went a little further, I found out, you know, to be humble, we should follow the model like Jesus did. And his two models that we should follow, even though he was God's son, Jesus was humble to serve others. If you know the story, before he was crucified, he washed his disciples' feet. He scrubbed dirt and grime off their feet. Hallelujah! That's an example that we should follow. Even though, like Prophet has said, he was the king, but he humbled himself.
Amen.
He washed the disciples' feet, and that's how we should be. We should be humble enough to take care of our brothers and sisters, because we are their keeper. We are brothers and sisters' keepers. Amen. We should look out for one another. If your brother or sister is low, We need to lift them up. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Jesus had another example of being humble when he died on the cross for our sins. Jesus, Son of God, King above kings, only person who has never sinned, suffered and died for you and I. That's humbleness. Because he didn't have to do it. He could have let us do whatever we and died. Because he didn't sin, we did. But he humbled himself that he gave his life for us and separated us from the love, separated us from our sins. That's enough humbleness for me to follow example of and for me to be humble with my brothers and my sisters because of what Jesus done for me. Hallelujah. So I say tonight,
hallelujah.
Humble yourself. Wait on the Lord. Wait. Wait your turn. Because it's going to come. Your turn is going to turn. It's going to turn. The coin is going to turn for you. But you got to wait and be humble. And while you're waiting, humble. Humble yourself. I can't say it enough. Humble yourself. Take your mercy and let God do what he do.
Amen.
Any questions?
Amen.
Amen. Had more stuff,
just,
but you know, we had a time, so.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say that that sister that talked about another sister that just would pray for her and everything, I commend her, her sensitivity and her spirit of discernment without you even coming over to her and saying that you need prayer or whatnot. The Holy Spirit, she's just so sensitive to just come over to you and just pray. That's how we all should be, because everyone is not going to always come to us. But we're supposed to be in so in tune with the flow of the Spirit that I don't have to call you. Elder John calls me. Oh, I was just thinking about you. Pastor Rose calls me. I was thinking about you. And you know what? As we go into conversation, they'll pray for me. I hadn't said anything, but their spirit is so in tune with God's spirit that he lays me on their mind. And I commend that woman that you work with, sister, that comes over to you and sees about you. That's God seeing about you.
Oh,
I love
she's
it.
Wonderful.
I love it.
Amen.
And to God be the glory. This is a good one.
Amen.
Wait our turn.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm done now.
I wish I could sing Wait on the Lord right now.
Yeah,
but my head, but my voice will hurt you.
Amen.
Let me say, wait your turn. Humble yourself and wait your turn. God will get you. God will
Amen.
Turn it around for you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
And that's what keeps
Thank
us from the promises sometimes, from the promises, when we're arrogant, when we're not humbling ourselves. And it doesn't matter if we have the gifts and the calling is on our lives and whatnot, but it's our character, the arrogance in our character that keeps us from what God really has for us.
Oh, yeah. You God know? Resists
think,
the proud.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
Yes.
Yes, he does. That's the
he
word.
Gives grace to the humble.
Yes, that's the word. Amen.
Amen.
So we got to be careful how we carry ourselves.
Amen,
you know,
Pastor.
You have this talent. You have this anointing. You want to make sure, always ask the Lord, humble me. When I get out of order, humble me, Lord. Don't let me get out of myself.
That's right.
You know, got to be careful. Because you want to be effective in the kingdom.
Yep.
Just like Elder Clay was just saying, how many people that needed prayer. It's needed in the kingdom. You can't be effective in prayer if you have that arrogance.
No, you can't.
Amen.
It's
important. We need to check our attitudes and our actions. On the way we think and the gift that God has given us, because it's a great gift that God's given us. So we got to be able to know how to use it in a proper way.
Amen.
And we're not to use it arrogantly, big headed. That's not how we're supposed to use that gift. Some people do that. Amen. Amen.
Can
this
you
is a wonderful
show.
Amen.
Yeah,
Amen. Amen. I know that I would definitely feel just listening to each and every one of you, as well as the title. I look at today and look at the youth right now. It's all about who you hang with. If you hang with the big dog, then you're one of the big dogs. But this is not Christ for people. You know, he looked at those who are home. You know, so it's definitely a blessing, and it's definitely an on-time message. I'm going to ask each and every one of you to humble yourself and pray. I'm looking at trying to add youth to this program, to bring youth in from a youth perspective. So please pray that that comes to fruition, because I'm seeing things happening, and we need to go back to the basics in the 19th century, back to revival. Back to revival. We have too much separation, too much segregation. And these youth are looking at the traditional things that's going on, the separation, and they don't understand. So please, if I could ask you to humble yourself and pray into the title, humble yourself, and pray that the youth begin to start to take off too. Because I'm trying my best to start pulling the ones, even in the 20s, bringing them on and having letting them have a perspective on how they view things. So we can begin to start to speak into their lives as well as them speaking into our lives.
Amen.
So if I could ask that, I would appreciate that.
Yeah.
Pastor Cook, thank you so much for, again, an on-time anointed word.
Amen.
And those who are listening by internet, we thank you for tuning in. Please join us next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We'd love to hear from you. And even if we don't hear from you, we are still one body in Christ. So we do thank you. Yeah. Pastor Cook, if you could pray for us, and then we're going to close it out. Thank you so much. God bless each and every one of you.
Amen.
God, we thank you, God, for this appointed time, God. We thank you for this word, God, that went forth on today, God. We pray, God, to speak in a life-changing word, Lord God, that we become humble before you, God, submissive unto you, God, committed unto you, God, even the more, God, in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, whatever's not like you in us, that like you in us, God, that we be more submissive unto you, God, and we begin to wait our turn and not go before you, Lord God. And God, we just thank you, God, for just another day, God, another night, God. We thank you for the ones that's on the line today, God. We pray for healing and deliverance for the ones that are on the line and on the internet as well, Lord God. We ask, God, that you begin to meet every need in their life, God, whatever it is, God, that needs to be met in their life. Meet the need right now in the name of Jesus. We lift up the pastors, Lord God, Pastor Robinson and Minister Robinson in Atlanta, and another young lady that Elder Clay talked about, God. We lift up unto you today, God, that you heal and deliver them, God. Oh, God, do whatever you've got to do in them today, God. We speak healing and deliverance for them on today, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And, God, we just give you praise. Touch this Block Talk Radio, God. We pray, God, that you enlarge it, God, in the name of Jesus. More listeners to come on to hear what you have to say, God. God, Elder Clay talks about young people coming on, God. Oh, God, make that happen, Lord God. We looking for that to happen, Lord God. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that you set young people that want to come on, God, and tell people about you, God. Hallelujah. So we ask, God, that you work that out for Elder Clay on tonight, God. In the name of Jesus. We put it in the atmosphere in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise, God. We give you glory today, God.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you so much. Remember, we love you.
So hard. like a dream.